The Michigan GT is coming at ya.
Greetings, gamers. Welcome to the Michigan GT Podcast, episode number 13.
13. We're officially teenagers.
Teenagers. We made it into adolescence. This is Jeff, your host, along with my co-host.
That'd be me, Rick.
Rick. Welcome, Rick.
How's it going?
Doing great.
It's been an interesting couple of weeks, huh?
It has been an interesting couple of weeks.
It's all Adepticon.
Right. We're in the very, very final stretch right here. It's the Sunday.
Sunday before the storm. And when are you leaving?
I am leaving Wednesday morning.
You're leaving Wednesday morning. I'm leaving Wednesday night.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I thought briefly about leaving Wednesday evening.
Yeah.
But for one thing, driving to Chicago in the evening blows.
Yes.
And I even thought about even early afternoon or mid-afternoon.
Yeah.
I ended up having to reshuffle a meeting with my accountant because it just happened to fall on Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, he's supposed to be there at 1:30. And I was just like, can you reschedule me? And she's like, well, if we reschedule you, we have to file an extension for you. And I'm like, I really don't want to do that. But then I got to thinking more about it, you know, and I'm just like, you know, if I don't leave till 3 or 4 o'clock, the traffic is going to stink.
Yep.
So I'm going to file an extension.
Well, you do what you got to do.
I got to do what you got to do. I'm going to file the extension on the taxes and whatever.
And now are you going solo driving down?
I'm driving solo.
Okay.
The guys I'm going with for my Age of Sigmar team are kind of got a lot of different things going on.
Sure.
Or coming from pretty different locations.
Yeah.
Right. The guy I would normally be carpooling with, he's got to come back early because he's flying out to California on Sunday morning, so he can't stay the whole time. So, yeah, it's really a fuel-inefficient trip when gas is $4 a gallon. So good timing on that.
Yeah.
But so it goes. Yeah, so, yeah, my buddy Jack and I are both going to leave in the morning.
Oh, okay.
So we're going to get there at the same time.
But,
And then we'll park one of our cars and just jump into the other one.
Sure.
And go from there.
And you're a couple blocks away?
I think 2 miles, technically.
2 miles, okay.
Yeah. So I've never actually stayed at the hotel before.
Sure.
Because it's kind of priced at a premium. Being right there.
A little bit.
You know, I think because it's in the $2,250 a night range, I think.
Yeah.
We've always been and it sells out in a second.
It's ridiculous how fast that sells out.
Yeah, right. So we've always kind of tended to stay near, but
sure,
you know, a little bit down the street. And a few years ago, I ran into this, I think it's a Comfort Inn or something, and it's $60 a night.
Oh, that's perfect.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
That's perfect.
Ridiculous for Schaumburg, being that cheap. And I think, you know, cause that area is kind of, it's kind of a businessy area.
Sure.
So I think they make most of their money, midweek,
The weekends are kind of,
we'll get what we can kind of thing.
Yeah.
So we've been staying there the last few years and they give you free breakfast,
Yeah, that's
it's like, come on. and then you split it with someone else. Now you're down $30 a night.
$30 a night, that's not bad at all.
It's pretty ridiculous. So Jack and I are sharing the room. He's
right on.
For 3 nights and then I'll be by myself for the last night.
Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have to leave Wednesday night because of work.
Right.
Both Brian and I both have to work, and
just can't get out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our original plan was actually not to go down until Thursday.
Oh.
Because none of our events actually go live until Friday, Saturday.
All right.
And we were just kind of shorting our trip because of costs and everything we were thinking about.
Yeah.
But then it was I guess they want us there Wednesday night. I guess we better go.
They asked you to come in. Okay.
Yeah, they asked us to get there Wednesday night to start doing some stuff Thursday morning. So because we're with Mantic, we're Pathfinders for them. We have to run all the events.
Right.
And this year we've lost a few Pathfinders.
Oh.
And
a little shorthanded.
Yeah. And a couple Pathfinders that just couldn't make it because of life changes
and how
things work. So if you want to say hi to Brian and I, we're in the Utopia room the whole time. Okay. Literally the whole time.
The Utopia room?
Utopia room, which is just upstairs from the vendor hall.
Okay. It's in the kind of that mezzanine up there. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. We're up there the whole time.
Yeah. I've been up there quite a few times.
Yep.
Seeing various events and stuff up there.
Yeah. We actually have the back corner of the Utopia room and the entire hallway outside.
Okay.
We're actually doing a whole bunch of demos and everything out
right,
there.
Right, great spot for it.
Yeah, and Blake's big game is going to be out there, so it's kind of like cool. Spotted.
Oh, that's traditionally been in the main room
yes.
in the past that I've
yes.
seen
it. Yes, and now we're going to have it out there so everybody can see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you should get a lot of good spectators for it.
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. But yeah, we'll come back Sunday evening.
Yeah.
We do the breakdown too.
Sunday night.
Yeah, we do the breakdown too. We break down Mantic's booth.
Right.
And take all that stuff to the storage unit and all that stuff.
Time, yeah. my wife asked me today, what time are you going to be coming home Monday? I said, late.
Yeah, my wife asked, and I'm like, when I get home?
If I get home by 11, it'll be lucky, right?
Yeah.
It's usually about the time we're rolling is around 11.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, you're losing the hour coming back.
Yep.
Right? And so one of our big traditions, too, as ridiculous as this is, we hit up Portillo's.
Yeah, you were telling me about that.
Have you ever been?
I have not.
Okay, you need to make arrangements to get there at some point over the weekend. It's a couple miles away from the hotel.
Yeah.
And it's just a kind of a fast foodie, but, you know, a little bit higher grade than regular. I put it, like, in line with, like, a Culver's, maybe.
Sure.
They have some really good, like, Italian beef sandwiches. Their fries are fine, but really where they strike gold is an item called a cake shake.
And you were telling me about that. The whole idea of a cake shake.
It's a
little nuts.
It's like a shake with a piece of cake put in it and blended together. And it is phenomenal. And I'm happy that they don't have any near me.
Probably.
So it's a complete special occasion to get one of these.
Well,
things.
Sure.
Yeah. So I... For any of you out there who are in the Chicago area, I highly recommend the cake shake.
Cake shake.
Yeah, it's really good.
I'll see if I can figure out somebody. I know plenty of people that are there. Maybe I can get somebody to bring me a cake shake.
There you go. There you go. So, yeah, I think we're going to hit that up on Wednesday afternoon for late lunch. And then on to the hotel. I plan on going to the Games Workshop Expo on Wednesday night.
Okay.
It's a free event if you signed up for it. They used to just be walk-in, but I think they were getting so many people that they ended up making a ticket for it. So you actually had to register. It still didn't cost you anything.
But you just register so they know the numbers.
Right. And so, they don't have, 500 people in a 300-person room kind of thing.
Yeah, and especially with this year, there's still all of the above going on. So
right. So I'm doing that, and then... I'm going to, after that, they're having a Games Workshop tournament organizer event.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm very interested to go check that out, interested to hear what they have to say. Hopefully I'll glean some information about what they're going to be doing as far as sponsoring events in the coming year, and I'll hopefully be able to share that with the listeners. I'm really looking forward to hearing what's going to be going on there.
That'll be sweet.
Yeah, should be cool.
What else you got going on?
Then Thursday, Friday, we're doing the team tournament.
Team tournament, yep.
And then Saturday, Sunday, I'm playing in the AOS singles.
Okay.
So, yeah, we'll see.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to do. I'm not taking that top tier army that's out there right now.
What is that in AOS right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Well, the thing that's creating all the buzz right now is there's some Stormcast Eternal lists out there with their new book that can be pretty gross with the small dragons.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen
those. I've seen them.
They're really
cool.
They're cool models. There's some lists out there with a bunch of those, and then they have these really gross crossbowmen that you can take too, the big crossbows. And there's a sub-faction in that book where you can do a once per game ability where you get to shoot that long range unit in your hero phase.
Oh.
And then you get to shoot them again in your shooting phase.
Indeed.
So you're getting
okay.
Two, of course, that's going to be turn one, right?
Yeah, sure.
And it's a unit that if they hit on a six, it does mortal wounds on.
Sure.
So it can be a pretty devastating blow if the rolls go well.
Yeah.
And even if they don't go well, it's still going to be it's still going to hurt, right? I mean, because they hit on like twos or, they're a very reliable unit.
Sure.
So then when you get that reliable unit going twice, it can be pretty rough.
Reliably dead.
Right. but Games Workshop did come out with an FAQ Hue last week that's
okay.
aiming to kind of balance out some of these, what's the right word, given units.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? By a given unit, like if you're going to play this army book,
you're going to take
this unit because it's that good.
Auto includes.
Right. Auto include. That's a great word for it. What they've done, and there's not a ton of them. There's probably maybe 12 to 15 units across the entire game.
So they throw up FAQs this close to a big tournament like Adepticon?
I think they did it because Adepticon's coming up in a couple weeks.
Okay.
Like they've noticed that this is an issue. And they're trying to throw a Band-Aid over it, you know, before this big event. Or maybe it's a great opportunity to see
what they actually do.
What the effect of it's going to be.
Yeah.
And it's not, it wasn't this mind-blowing change, right?
Sure.
So what they did is they just took this list of, like I said, about 15 units. And then if you have those units in your army and that unit gets destroyed, then your opponent gets a bonus victory point. In game for killing that auto take
unit. The auto includes, yeah.
Right.
All right. That's a different way to balance it out, I guess.
Trying to. Yeah. You know, talking with some of my buddies on this, you know, and I agree with what they're saying here is, you know, it'll come into play when, you know, good players play good players and their armies are close.
Yeah.
But if you have that, like, mid to low tier army,
it's not going to really matter.
You're still going to get your ass kicked. You know,
you might get an extra point or so, but that's it.
Right, you're still going to get crushed.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, it doesn't fix that.
Sure.
But there's so many variables in wargaming, though, too.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Age of Sigmar, you look at 40K, you look at the Mantic games. I know you look at Conquest. That auto include a lot of armies have it.
Right.
Across all of the games,
absolutely.
And I can't think of any way really that people are doing that. All they're doing is Band-Aids for auto includes. That's all they're doing.
Yeah.
Because how do you not?
How do you know? Right. You know, that's great. You know, and the other thing that makes the discussion a lot more complicated, right, is that, you know, they've been doing this thing with both 40K and Age of Sigmar where they will break down tournament results and you can see like the winning percentages of each army.
Oh, sure.
You know, and.
Yeah, that.
Like, well, one of my buddies is like, man, that's pretty ridiculous. You have all these armies that are winning, you know, 55 to 60% of the games, and you have, you know, half the armies that don't have a 50% win percentage. And I just, well, isn't that kind of like math? I mean.
That's kind of how it works.
Everything cannot be above 50%. Right?
Correct.
You know, and so your goal as your designer should be try not to have anything below 45. And try not to have anything above 55. That should be your
ideal. That would be the perfect balance.
Right. And, you know, in the stats that was released recently, there was one army at 60 and then another one at like 58 and then a number at 50, between 50 and 55.
Yeah.
And then a number between 45 and 50 and then one or two in that 40 to 45 and then a couple in like the high 30 range.
Sure.
So I'm like, all right, well, those high 30 ones, you need to focus there,
yep.
You know, try to get that fixed.
Bring them up a little
bit. Right, and then that 60 in the 58.
Bring it down a little bit.
Just a little bit. And then if you're, like, living in there, you know, and then. But the other thing that I think that is near impossible to take into consideration is that your highly competitive players are going to be attracted to certain types of armies.
Yes.
Right? They're not. If you're a highly competitive player, you're not going to play an older, not as good army book, right?
Correct. You're grabbing the newest stuff.
Right. That 36% army list, you're not going to run that book because you're going to want that 55 to 60%, right? But that player who's out there winning tournaments or going 4-1 or 5-0 or whatever, if you're doing that and you were playing that 36% win book, a good player could probably roll that at 4-1.
Yeah.
Right? Just because he's a good player.
He's a good player. And I mean, that's almost like the dice.
Right.
You can't factor that into the math.
You
just can't. I mean, I know there's a percentage on the dice rolls and there's all kinds of charts and all that kind of stuff. But the amount of times that I have rolled ones on rolls that all I needed was a two.
Sure.
In Kings. And I would roll ones. And it's like, really? 6 ones in one game?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Probability, not supposed to happen.
Right.
But it does.
But it does.
And then you have those players that are the top tier player, right. Not the army, but the right. player. They've been playing these games forever.
Right.
They know the strategies that they know to win by yes. playing the objectives in this very specific way.
Right.
It almost doesn't matter if they're that 36% army or that right. 60%.
Correct. And the only time that that does come into play is if they're playing another top tier player.
Yeah.
Right? That's definitely where army book or army list
yeah.
comes in to be a factor. You know, if I'm playing a rookie who's never played before, I could take a trash army and I'm probably going to beat him because I know the tactics and the rules,
yep.
you know, and everything else. I have that gameplay edge.
Yeah.
But then when I play someone who's my level, now army list and...
It's 100% the army list and... Yeah.
Right. Or who makes the first mistake? Who makes a mistake first, right?
Yeah. It's that one... It's funny because, I mean, my daughter's a volleyball player, which right. is a game of mistakes.
Sure.
And when you take two top-tier players that play, it's the mistake is what changes the game.
Yes. Absolutely. Which
sucks, but that's how it ends up being.
That's competition.
Yeah.
Right? You know.
And, oh, yeah.
Right. And, but again, looking at those stats, it's just difficult to gauge, you know, is that 36% book really a 36% book? Or is it a book that, like, the good players are ignoring? And they're
because
not,
of this
because,
over here.
Because there's yep. more efficient options.
Yeah.
You know, if the top tier guys were playing that 36% book consistently, maybe it'd be a 45%.
It's possible.
It's very possible.
that's that whole, that flip in take the non-tier armies. See how good you do in a local area.
Right.
If that player starts developing that over time, it's going to change that 36%.
Absolutely. Absolutely it would. You know, it's just an interesting thought process, yeah. I guess. You know, I mean, when it comes down to it, you gotta take something, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's just so many ridiculous factors, you know, so many moving parts in this kind of thing.
Yes.
That at some point you just gotta go forward and have a discussion,
yep.
you know, about it, you know, and there's just an infinite number of factors that,
yeah, I don't.
You can interpret it so many different ways.
I feel bad for all of the rules committees for every single one of these games.
Right. It's very tough.
I've been involved with a little bit with Mantic.
Sure.
With some of the rules committees. And at the same time, it's like, okay, nope, I'll just play test. I'll give you my input right. and that's it because that's way too much for me.
It's tough. It's a challenge to write something that's completely balanced, right? Especially in the realm of Games Workshop, when you have so many different army lists.
Yeah.
You know, we're not talking 5 or 6. You know, you're talking 20. And
yeah.
that's hard. That's a lot of moving parts.
Too many, I'll just throw dice.
Yeah. like I said, Saturday, Sunday, that's what I'm doing. Oh, and I'm bringing up Cities of Sigmar. That's the army list I'm bringing.
Okay.
Now, I built this army with the intent of taking it to the 2020 Adepticon.
Okay.
So I didn't get to take it there.
Nope.
I have not gotten a chance to take it to a major event. So this is going to be the first major event that it's gone to.
Okay.
Sadly, we're in a completely different rule set that we were in 2020.
Yeah.
So it's not the same list exactly as what I had back sure. then. It's not nearly as deadly as it was 2 years ago. Because some point changes happened, some army construction changes happened.
Okay.
It's mostly the point changes.
Sure.
You know, and then I've also tweaked it a little bit in the sense that the new Stormcast book came out, and I really liked the large dragon, Krondas, who's like a spellcasting dragon. Okay. And I have a spellcasting Cities of Sigmar army. It's wizards focused, right?
Okay.
So the city I took is the City of Wizards. And all your wizards get bonuses to cast and they get extra spells and all this stuff. And so by taking that dragon out of one of the cool things about the Cities of Sigmar is that no matter what city you take, and there's about 10 cities in the book.
Okay.
These are different free cities in the realms.
Sure.
And each of them has a slightly different specialty, that kind of thing. Because there's the Cities of Sigmar and the Stormcast Eternals are the followers of Sigmar as well, and they protect the cities.
Oh.
So what they allow by rule is that up to 50% of your army, City of Sigmar, up to 50% of the units can be Stormcast Eternal units.
And that's not like an ally rule or anything. It's just flat out.
Right.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And there's no points limits because normally there's allies are limited to 25% of your points.
Yeah.
But these are not allies. It's just.
So it's just part of it.
It's just part of it. So yeah. I took that 600-point dragon and incorporated it into my list.
Okay.
And whatever Stormcast unit you bring in also gets your city keywords. So he becomes a City of Sigmar wizard by joining my Cities of Sigmar book.
All right.
So by bringing him in, he gets a bonus spell, and he gets a bonus to cast, you know, and all this stuff. And he's been really good. Yeah, I've been really enjoying using him.
All right.
So I'm very interested to see how he does on that stage.
All right.
So we're going to find out.
Well, I'll have to keep tabs on you.
Yeah, keep tabs on me. I might get crushed. I have no idea. My goal is to go 4-1.
Okay.
If I go 4-1, I will consider it a successful venture out with the Cities of Sigmar, and. I don't want to do worse than 3-2. But it could happen.
Yep.
We'll see.
Yeah. And I'll try. I mean, so I'm not playing anything. I'm just running.
Okay.
I will be spending my time running Dead Zone, running Armada, running Overdrive, running League of Infamy, which is just a board game.
It's a dungeon crawl. A lot of rule sets to keep straight over a course of 3 days.
Yeah, it really is.
So how much free time are you going to have during the day? Are you going to be locked into those events like 24/7?
I'm going to have some free time to get away. I just don't know when it falls.
Right.
Because it's essentially Brian and I figuring out all the games, where people need to be. And from that, we'll figure out where, okay, you have some time, go have some fun. And then I'll switch back and I'll come back and go have some fun, kind of that kind of thing. So it'll be more day by day what free time we have.
Right.
And then, of course, Friday night, which is traditionally we have a Mantic night, mm-hmm. where Ronnie tells all the dark secrets and all the new stuff coming right. and all that kind of stuff.
Is he going to make it?
Not 100% sure yet.
He's trying.
He's trying.
This is kind of short notice.
It's very, yeah.
Right.
He was just at the Gamma Expo.
Right out in Reno there?
Yeah, he was on that side, so it's still trying to figure out all that.
Well, if he's still in the States, it makes it easy.
Yes.
Much easier.
Yes, much easier.
All right.
But because we're not doing an actually official Mantic Nights with our room and all the drinking and everything, we're doing Friday night is kind of still having to get together with all the Mantic players.
Just less formal.
Yes, up in the Utopia room where we're playing our games anyways.
Nice.
So we'll be up there and we'll be running more games. There's a lot of beer and pretzel games that have been created out of Mantic's board games and war games.
All right.
That are just quick 20-minute games. One's a Doom Ball. So in Dead Zone, there's these Veermen, the Rakkin. They have little tunnel runners. Mm-hmm. One of the other Pathfinders created a Doom Ball game where you're running 5 of those little tunnel runners and a big ball. He based it off of the... car soccer, where they go out there and drive around cars hit a huge soccer ball. Yeah,
I gotcha.
He created this little beer and pretzel game out of that with the tunnel runners just for fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. And then, of course, there's another dungeon crawl game, the Dungeon Saga, which is a lot like Descent and those kind of games.
All right.
He created a bar room brawl game out of it, where it's all the heroes, they go into a bar, and then all kind of shenanigans happen in the bar, and you get to play one of the heroes, but you have no weapons.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah, I mean, just these little fun games that we end up throwing. So a couple more rule systems to add to us.
Right. You'll be laughing, rolling dice, and not really caring what happens.
Yeah, not at all.
Right.
But that's mostly what I'll be doing. Of course, I'll try and get down to the vendor hall a couple times.
Right. That's the something I always wish I could have more time to do.
Yeah.
I tend to... book myself full of games.
Solid.
Right. One thing I'm kind of happy about, though, is that the team tournament on Thursday, Friday, so that's only 2 rounds on Friday.
Oh, okay.
So you're
actually going to have enough time.
Yeah, we should be wrapping up by like 3 o'clock.
Oh, you'll have plenty of time Friday then.
Right. I'll have some time to go wander around.
That's good.
Yeah. Happy about that. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I am definitely... So do you have a vendor that you specifically want to go to? Or is it kind of what do you got for me kind of
thing? It's kind of what do you got for me kind of thing. Okay. Right. There used to be a place, you know, a vendor that was in there. I didn't see him last time, but they carried some of the Tabletop World terrain pieces. I don't know if you're familiar with them.
I've heard of them.
They're out of like Croatia or something like that. And it's hard to kind of get their stuff over here.
Sure.
So I was trying to buy one piece a year because they're not cheap either. So I'm kind of hoping somebody will have their stuff.
Okay.
Because I wouldn't mind grabbing one more, you know, another piece, you know, kind of thing. Like the big tower behind you is one of their pieces.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And that's a nice piece.
Yeah, they're super nice. They're resin cast.
Yeah.
You know, they're not 3D printed or anything. So they're even next level over, over that.
Right on.
Very intricate inside out. Other than that, I'm just kind of looking for, I'm not looking for much to actually purchase.
Yeah.
Maybe something jumps out at me. I'll pop by over at Table Ward to see if they have any cool new mat designs.
Oh, yeah.
That might jump out at me, or at least give me something to add to the shopping cart when I buy for the Michigan GT this year.
Sure.
You know, one of those kind of things.
Right on.
Yeah.
How
about you?
Monument Hobbies is going to be there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll swing by there.
I want to get some more primer.
Cool.
That's kind of a big thing for me is...
We're to the point now. I mean, are they carrying that over at Evo yet?
No.
Okay, but they do at AFK.
Oh, AFK does have...
AFK is carrying them, you know, as is Golden Rhino.
Yeah, I knew Golden Rhino was kind of...
And as is Michigan Toy Soldier. So
there's
multiple locations here in Michigan, and now you have one here in Lansing.
Yes.
Right, that you can go
Which is funny that...
He's got the full rack.
Oh, man, I need to get over there. I didn't realize he had that, because... AFK, just because of the location of it.
Yeah, it's not.
I don't generally go that way.
Yeah, I mean, Evo's a block from your work. You know?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's kind of right there.
Super convenient, right? In between home and work, right?
Well, yeah, and exactly. I mean, it's like 2 minutes from work and 7 minutes from my house. I mean, it's like in that line.
AFK will be a dedicated 15 minute drive for you.
Yeah,
but still better than an hour.
Definitely.
Right.
But yeah, just. Really only that, and maybe looking for a paint rack.
Okay, just something to have on your desk to kind of sort your paints out.
Yeah, to give me a little bit more organization.
Yeah.
That's about it.
I could be more organized.
Outside of that, I mean, obviously it's that window shopping. If something jumps out at me and I got to have it.
Right. Absolutely. I hear you.
I'll have a little bit of budget just for that.
Right.
Just now, in case.
Are you going to try to get over to like the bits trade? That's usually like Friday night.
Yeah, that's usually Friday night. I don't know if I'll have time to get over there for any of that.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a while. I've gotten some pretty good deals there in the past.
Yeah.
You know, I've grabbed some things that was actually a very good deal. but yeah, I don't know if I'll get over there either.
I think the biggest thing I'm looking forward to though is just being there.
Yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of people that are going to be there that I haven't seen in a few years.
Right. That'll be fun.
Yeah. Like, it was exciting for us when we did the GT and finally getting back into gaming and all that kind of stuff. That was awesome. Now we're getting our second chance to it. And it's like, sweet, this is ramping up to a huge GT for us this coming year.
Right.
I guess that is this year.
Yeah, yeah. 6 months away.
Yeah.
Yeah, getting there. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 6 months.
I got to get
almost
building.
almost exactly 6 months away.
Yeah.
Right.
Right on.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking to get back. My buddy Jack, who's coming with me, it's his first trip there. So
kind
of fun to experience it, you know, with him for the first
time. It's intimidating the first time.
Absolutely is. Yep.
I was completely awestruck. Like, I didn't know, because for me, like, has Jack gone to a convention before?
Oh, the GT, Michigan GT.
Okay, the GT?
Right.
Okay, so for me, nothing. My first convention was Adepticon.
Okay. You know, I was an early enough adopter that I've watched it grow.
Sure.
You know, so, you know,
it's a little bit different.
It's different. Yeah. Right. So I think my first year there was like year three or four.
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, of the show. And what are they on, like 13 now or something to that effect? So I've gone.
You've seen it.
I've gone to a bunch of them. And like I said, I've seen it steadily progress, right?
Yep.
So I haven't been that. Oh my God, I can't believe you know, that I kind of got the first time I went to Gen Con.
Oh,
and like the vendor hall there was just insane.
It was in, so obviously I didn't go into Gen Con when I went down there for mm-hmm. the Mantic stuff.
Right.
Just being on the outside of Gen Con and seeing it was like, that's huge.
It's huge. Kind of cool with all the food trucks out there, though.
Yes. That part, line and line.
Yeah, yeah. That part was really neat. I thought that was a really cool way to address the situation, right?
It works.
Yeah, very well. Yeah, and because they couldn't handle that volume
yeah.
inside.
No.
No way.
Not at all.
So what a great situation where, you know, everyone gets the benefit.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm totally looking forward to it. I'm sure we'll run into right each on. Other here and there.
I'll try to.
Yeah, see what we can do.
Where is the team tournament at?
That's going to be, well, last time the AOS stuff was probably underneath you.
Okay. Yep.
There's that big, you know, kind of that big ballroom-ish.
Yeah, essentially the.
Right across from the main hall.
Yeah.
That's where the AOS stuff was last time.
Okay.
I'm not sure where it is this time. It worked really well in there. And that's all that was in there last time.
Oh, okay.
So it'd be kind of cool if that was the same thing this year.
Yeah.
It has carpeted floors. Which my knees really like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be interesting, seeing how this goes.
You got that
bionic
knee you're operating on over there.
Yeah, we'll see how well it goes going up and down those stairs.
You got a brace and stuff?
Yes.
And they have escalators.
Yes.
So take advantage of that.
I'm taking care. Yeah. Usually I'm one to shy away from elevators and all that stuff. No, nope.
Not this time.
If there's one available, I'm using it.
Sounds like a good plan.
And I probably won't spend much time at the Mantic booth doing anything because that's all standing only.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's the biggest thing that I've learned is...
You gotta sit.
I've gotta sit and stand. I can't just do one or the other.
All right.
Because if I do one or the other and it doesn't matter if I'm just sitting mm-hmm. or if I'm just standing, if I do it for too long, it starts cramping up on me and I can't move it.
Right.
And that's not a good thing to have happen.
Right. Yeah, that stinks. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, cool. I hope you have a good trip.
Oh, I hope you do too.
I plan on it. I plan on having a really good trip.
I think it's going to be a blast from the...
I'm really looking forward to it.
About 5:20 when we jump into my car and hit the road. Yeah, it's going to be a blast.
Very nice. So you'll be rolling in around 9:30, 10 o'clock Chicago time?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, and we'll try and swing in and get our badges because...
Why not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then hit our hotel.
I'll definitely be grabbing my badge.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And our hotel is right next to it. Oh. I don't remember which one it is, but it's with walking and...
Or across the parking lot kind of thing. All right.
And with free breakfast, so I'm all about that.
Oh, super cool. And are you there on Mannix time?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. It'll be three of us in our room.
Very cool.
And usually we get two beds and a couch in the room. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we're good.
Sweet. Very cool.
Unfortunately, Brian has to sleep on the couch because I need a bed. He's the younger one.
That's right. When he's a grizzled veteran like you, he can have the bed, right?
Yep, pretty much.
All right, well, drive safe.
All right, you too.
And we'll see you there.
Sounds good.
And then we'll be back in a minute and we'll talk about some hobby.
Ooh.
Mantic Games is a game company based in Nottingham, UK. We have been makers of toy soldiers since 2009 and started with a little game called Kings of War, a fantasy-based mass battle war game. Since then, we have grown and produced many new games. In the fantasy genre, in addition to Kings of War, we now have Kings of War Vanguard, a skirmish-based game, and Armada, a fantasy-based fleet game. In the sci-fi genre, we created Dead Zone, a skirmish-based war game, and its counterpart Warpath, the mass battle version. We also are makers of several board games and hold different comic book licenses. Our two biggest being The Walking Dead All Out War and Hellboy the board game. The Walking Dead is a player versus player game where each controls a group of survivors fighting over supplies while trying to avoid attracting the attention of the walkers. Hellboy is a co-op game where the players play a member of the BPRD to try and solve the stranger things that happen in the world. Lastly, we have several one versus many board games, namely Dungeon Saga, Star Saga, and the new hotness, The League of Infamy. Visit manticgames.com for more information.
Welcome back, listeners. Hey, do you know what time it is, Rick?
I think I do.
What time?
I think it's hobby time!
Oh, it's hobby time.
Or Apex time. Just because it's staring at me, man.
In this house, it's Apex time. Absolutely.
It is staring at me like it's going to eat me.
All right, so let's go over what we talked about last episode. Right? I got to say I'm a little jazzed, right?
Right.
So I was challenged by myself and a little bit by you, but more by myself.
Sure.
That I was going to wrap up A Table's Worth of Terrain.
Yep.
As well as complete The Apex Predator, maybe with Ryder, maybe without. Right? The Ryder was on the fence.
Ryder was on the fence.
I was going to shoot for it.
Yep.
I am proud to say that I finished The Table of Terrain.
You succeeded.
Which you've seen.
Which looks gorgeous.
Thank you very
much. By the way.
I'm quite pleased with how it
turned out. I want to go swimming.
You're welcome to.
I don't
but I will not cover the hospital bills when you bang your head trying to jump in that river.
Well, you know.
And then I knocked out the Apex Predator.
You did, which is gorgeous.
Thank you very much. You know, we're a couple of days late from our normal recording time.
Yeah.
You know.
And had we known some things were going to happen, you probably could have had the writer done.
Well, right. I mean, and I, by any all intents and purposes, I should have it done because we're 4 days later than we were going to record.
Yeah, true.
So I busted my butt to get that done when we were supposed to podcast last time.
I know.
I stayed up to like 2 a.m. the night before getting it finished, which it's okay. You know, you need motivation. Right?
Yeah, motivation.
And, so I knocked it out. I'm stoked with how it turned out.
Yes.
I'm super,
it looks
super
gorgeous.
Super pleased with them. I'm just hoping that all of their large models turn out like that.
Yeah.
He was a lot of fun to paint. I had a great time painting him. It just went fantastic.
Yeah, and he looks fantastic.
Thank you.
And it's great because he looks fantastic, and he looks fantastic next to your scenery.
Oh, yeah.
It all kind of, like...
does kind of go with it a little bit. Yeah,
it kind of does.
It kind of fits in.
They belong together.
Right. That was completely unintended.
But it works.
Coincidence, right.
Yes.
And then the rider, she's sitting at about 80% done right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so I'm very close. I'll probably have it done before I leave for Adepticon.
All right, that works. That
so, yeah, I've had a very busy hobby desk
that works
since we recorded last, but not only very busy, but full of results. Very,
yes.
Very pleased. And I know you're cranking out terrain for Adepticon.
Yeah, so finished all of the Armada scenery for 16 players, islands, sandbars, really small, simple stuff, but it was actually a lot of fun doing.
Treasure chests?
I didn't do any treasure chests.
All right.
But we
have how you get players at your event.
But we have treasure. Castles.
Oh, castles are cool.
Yeah, we have castles and castles with guns.
Like island forts kind of thing.
Yeah, a whole bunch of forts. Because there's actually a mission where there's a castle fort in the middle of the map, and you're vying for control. And whoever gets control of it gets to use the cannons.
Oh, that's cool.
On the other ships.
A little bit of motivation to capture the fort, right.
So yeah, finished up that scenery. Pack that all away. It's good to go. And then, of course, with your challenge to make sure that you were going to get the Apex done, I was like, yeah, I'll get my werewolves done. So I finished my werewolves.
Nice.
I went with the kind of that cool gray blue style, older werewolf for one of them, kind of that pack leader style.
Right. Is it a unit of three?
Yes, right? It's a unit of three. And then I went with two more of the brown traditional
American werewolf in London.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yeah.
In fact, actually, I was watching that when I was painting them.
I probably would have watched Underworld.
Underworld's a good one too.
Yeah, that's a good.
I mean, it's funny because
get the lichens.
I could have thrown on Silver Bullet.
Oh, there you go.
Great working on the silver one.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That might have aged us a little bit.
There's no surprise. We're not fooling anybody out there.
Not really.
Yeah.
And then randomly, I also finished up the rest of the models for an Overdrive game.
Oh, very cool.
Overdrive is sci-fi.
Mad Max
sports.
Kinda.
It's a sports game where you're vying for control.
Okay. All right.
And you have six models. It's a board game, so you only have six.
All right.
And it's a... what's it called? It's a draft. So we draft for which giant we get.
Right on.
And each of us control three giants. So right. I had to finish up those for Adepticon. And I finished those up yesterday.
and they're going to be used as game pieces by people who are walking up? Like demo pieces kind of?
So they're going to be both demo and we have a couple actual Overdrive tournaments going on.
Nice.
Events going, so they'll be used for that.
All right. Because people aren't required to bring their own?
Not for Overdrive.
I see.
Okay. Yep. Overdrive is... we're supplying everything for Overdrive.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
So how many players would you expect in something like this? Or how many can it handle?
So the game itself is a two-player game.
Right.
But
the tournament, we
had
players,
it set up for, I think we had it set up for 12.
So there were six of you then who painted a full
Pretty much. Okay. We also all have our own box that paint. We're all just bringing our boxes.
So you did these 8 tables of terrain for Armada.
Yes.
All right, for 16 players. So yep. Eight tables.
Yep.
So at the end of the event, where is all that terrain going?
A couple pieces are coming back with me. And the rest will actually stay with Mantic.
All right, so that'll be going to their storage locker for future events.
For Gen Con and next year to AdeptCon. Right. So they
now
have it.
So now that's done.
Yeah. Yeah, that project is done. Now, it doesn't mean that...
You could tweak it, add a couple things. Or if you have a 32 event, player event next year, you're going to be making eight more tables.
Bump it up. And we were talking, Brian and I were talking about, like... So Armada didn't kick off at Evolution Games. We didn't get much
for whatever reason.
It came out.
Right.
Partly because we weren't able to come out and push it because of COVID lockdowns and everything. But now seeing the excitement for Armada at Adepticon and the new buzz on the social media about people are excited about this, we've been talking about, well, maybe this is something that we throw at the GT. And give it a shot.
And give it a shot, yeah. You never know.
So we're going to see how Adepticon goes.
Right.
And Brian and I are going to sit down and kind of hash out some numbers and see what of the people that came to Adepticon are from our area.
Right.
Indiana.
Like, what are the odds that you could draw them to Michigan?
Draw them up here to the GT, yeah.
Yeah, that could be very interesting.
Yeah.
I think the game, it looks interesting from afar.
It's surprisingly fun.
I'm not surprised.
I never really played a lot of ship games.
No, I haven't either, but in what little experience I've had with it, I've always enjoyed it. Something about...
Being a pirate.
Well,
it's always fun. It's all about being a pirate.
It's kind of fun to be pirates. But I always enjoyed the gamesmanship behind the maneuvering to try to get broadside of your opponents and that kind of thing. You know, and I don't know. I just always thought that was kind of cool. You know, that you're attacking, you know, that kind of thing, trying to get into position to unload your volley, you know, into the opponent's ship and stuff. It's always fun.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing about your review of all the games that you ran.
Oh, yeah.
So that should be quite interesting, and I'm sure I'll have plenty of review over the stuff that I'm participating in as well.
We probably shouldn't record, like, the Wednesday after AdeptCon, because I don't think my voice will be back in time.
Oh. Yeah, I guess.
Because technically that would be our next week.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe we'll try to squeak in like we are this week, maybe a Sunday night.
Maybe a Sunday night.
Yeah, right.
Give us almost a week to recover.
Right. Yeah, my voice probably won't be as shot as yours.
Oh, mine's going to be shot.
Right. But, yeah, wouldn't be surprised if either of us kind of had a little con crud or whatever. It wouldn't shock me either.
Yeah.
So, very cool. Well, I am absolutely pumped for this coming week.
I am super pumped. One of my favorite things at AdeptCon is the armies on display. There's just something about it. Mm-hmm. And I don't care what game system. Seeing these armies across the board for all these different game systems and just seeing the passion and love people have for their army.
It would be kind of interesting if... At some point, they could get other game systems to raise their game to match up with what the Games Workshop fans are doing.
Yes.
It's honestly all tied to the team tournament. That's who's putting out those insane displays.
Really?
Those aren't from the singles. Those are all from the teams. Those are all from the teams.
Really?
Yeah. Because they do the showcase on Saturday night, which is what you're talking about.
Which is gorgeous.
And that's all from the teams.
Okay.
And it's really become a thing.
Yeah.
As you've seen, right? The last couple times you've been.
The last couple times you look and it's just rows and rows of people staring at these things. It's like going to a museum or something. It's crazy.
It's nuts.
Yes. You know,
what some of these people are putting out. Like I was talking to a guy yesterday. I went to a little Adepticon Primer up at AFK Games
here,
the local game
store. Oh, you went up to that. Okay.
Yeah, just get a couple more games in before Adepticon kind of thing. And I was talking to one of the guys playing there, came to the Michigan GT last year, and he was talking about how he wanted to get to Adepticon, but it wasn't working out for him this year, maybe next year kind of thing. Yeah. You know? And I'm just like, you got to go check it out because, you know, I was explaining to him, you know, the display boards and stuff and how absolutely bananas some of these things are. And this is the first year they're doing AOS in that same mold.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Is what they've done.
Oh, that's going to be interesting to see.
So Thursday night should be the, you know, the showcase for the AOS.
Okay.
Stuff. And I don't know if it will be quite to the extent of 40K. For one thing, you know, it's still an event that's not even close to the size of 40K.
Sure.
Right. So, like, I don't know how many teams are signed up, but it doesn't touch what 40K.
Well,
40K,
yeah.
They're showing up with like 130 teams of four people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're talking 500 players in that event.
Yes.
The AOS thing, I'd be shocked if there was more than 50 teams in this.
Okay.
It's Thursday, Friday.
Yep.
You're going to have a little bit harder time drawing for earlier
that
in the
Thursday,
week.
Yep.
You know, understandably. Also, first year they're doing the event.
Okay.
Also, they never announced the format of the event until they actually put tickets on sale in, what, January?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And so, you know, all these people, they knew they were going to do four-man teams, but they didn't know what the structure of the event was. Like, we had no idea what the structure was going to be.
Okay.
So how do we put a team together, put a cohesive army together
yeah,
without knowing what
that.
The rules are going to
yeah.
be? So finally, we get the rules midway through January. Well, I got 2 months to put this together. It's just not enough time. Not even close to enough time. I mean, in the past, when I've done the 40K event, we're talking, it's a six-month lead.
Yeah.
You know, in order to really put something out there. And so, you know, we're just kind of half-assing it this year.
Sure.
Because this is what we have.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the time to really invest into this and really go all out. And I'm hoping next year, now that we're going to have proper lead and all that kind of stuff and have an idea how things are going to work, I'd like to do something like that for next year.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's obviously it's the big 40K thing. It's now going to be the big Age of Sigmar. But there's all these other games have so many, they could do the same thing.
They could.
They could totally do it and bring it up to that level.
Right.
Sure, you might not have 30 of them. You're going to have three or four for the smaller games.
Right.
But those three or four at that level.
Yes.
Oh, my God, the amount of people that would draw in.
Absolutely.
Like, and even a Legion
one. And there's no reason why there can't be a Kings of War display out in that showcase with the Age of Sigmar stuff or with the 40K stuff.
Yes.
It doesn't matter what game system it's for. It's a what matters
it's armies
is it,
on
it's
display.
An awesome army on display.
Yeah.
And it just none of their other games push it like the team event does. Like I said, the team event, it is a thing.
Which is awesome.
It is awesome. And they've also, like a number of years ago, they figured that out. They looked at, there was a couple people that were doing some really cool displays, and they're like, well, this is really neat. Let's reward this.
Oh, yeah.
And so you get a huge amount of points for your team score for having an awesome display.
Huh.
And it's a prize category in and of itself. And so, you know, so what they're doing is they're encouraging the creativity and the effort and the work, and the participants are responding.
Which is awesome.
Which is awesome. Yeah. I mean, it's like I said, you saw it.
Yes.
Next,
but this year, the fantasy stuff's gonna be Thursday night.
I'm assuming it is.
Okay.
I mean, the event's Thursday, Friday.
Okay, you find out. You need to text me this.
Yeah, I'll let you
because
know.
I should be able to break away Thursday night.
It'll be up to like 10 o'clock.
Yeah,
like if you get invited to the showcase, you're committing to putting your display out to like 10 p.m.
Oh, okay.
So I think it officially goes up at like 7 p.m. and then it comes down at 10 p.m.
Yeah, because I'll definitely want to check that one out.
Oh, you should. Yeah. Should be some pretty cool stuff.
Yes.
But yeah, it's going to be a good time.
It's going to be a good time. I'm ready.
Me too.
Well,
I'm beyond ready at this point.
I'm not 100% packed, but I'm ready.
Yeah. I won't be 100% packed
until
5 minutes before I leave. Right. That's just how that goes.
Yeah, pretty much.
Absolutely. Well, Rick, have a good time, man.
You too,
I'll
see you there.
I'm sure we can tilt something back together. Have a good time.
All right, sounds good.
All right. All you listeners out there,
have a great night.
Have a great night. We'll hope to see you at AdeptCon. If you see us, grab us and stop us and say hi.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. Peace out.
Bye.